The headline of the morning edition of the Williamsport Sun for February 6, 1945 reads, Navy unit here to take winter shots for film. And the story reads, a United States Naval unit, a branch of the Photographic Science Laboratory of Anacostia, D.C., including Gene Kelly, former movie singing and dancing star, arrived in Williamsport Monday night to prepare for shooting winter scenes in a typical American city for a naval training film. Lieutenant Hugh McMullen, whose family resides at 802 Second Avenue in Williamsport, a former dialogue director for Warner Brothers Studio in Hollywood, is officer in charge of the unit. He has been in the Naval Reserve for more than 2 years, serving during that period with the Photographic Division. 22 of the 24 naval seamen assigned to the city for the picture checked in at the Lycoming Hotel on Monday, and two other officers and three civilian players will arrive before Friday. The service personnel rank from apprentice seamen to lieutenants senior grade. Gene Kelly, an apprentice seaman recently assigned to the special branch unit, will play the leading role in the training film. The scenes will feature naval training in various sections of the region, selected on the basis of their scenic beauty and as a typical city in the USA. The contingent will be stationed here from 1 to 2 weeks. That report from February 6, 1945, in the Williamsport Sun. Another report in the Sun captures something of the fandom of the event. Action, camera, roll.
Have you seen him yet? He looks just as he did on the screen. Isn't he super?
These were statements oft repeated in Williamsport last week as the city became a minor movie town and local residents rubbed elbows with a film star when a Navy photographic unit began snapping scenes for a visual education film to be used in the training of military personnel. Although Gene Kelly, radio and motion picture star, appearing in the training film, is no longer a celebrity, but just an apprentice seaman beginning his naval career by playing the lead in the movie, this fact failed to dampen the enthusiasm of the hero-worshipping Bobby Sox crowd who waited hours in downtown eating and entertainment places to get a chance to catch sight of him, and they turned into persistent autograph hounds. Many local residents, particularly the younger set, have gotten the chance of a lifetime to play extras before the grinding cameras recording scenes at movie sets at the Pennsylvania Railroad Station on 2nd Avenue in the downtown section and along Loyal Sauk Creek. However, they probably never will have the opportunity of seeing the film to decide whether they should go to Hollywood as potential stars, for there is little possibility that the movie will have a local showing because the picture is intended solely for military training purposes. In charge of the Navy Photographic Unit, which includes more than 30 cameramen, script girls, actors and actresses, is Lieutenant Senior Grade Hugh McMullen, a native of this city and son of Mrs. Samuel J. McMullen of 2nd Avenue. Before entering the armed forces in 1942, Lieutenant McMullen, who attended Williamsport schools, was a dialogue director at Warner Brothers Motion Picture Studio. That from the Williamsport Sun in February 1945. And all that from Here's Looking at You by Ernest Giglio from 2005, posted to the blog site Valley Girl Views by Heather Truckenmiller in November 2022. One of the things that stands out about Introduction to Combat Fatigue, the title of the training film, is that Lieutenant Commander Hugh McMullen wrote and directed more than 100 documentaries. And when he prepared the storyline for Gene Kelly's movie, he wanted it to be set, as we've heard, in a typical American city. And he must have loved Williamsport, where he was born and grew up and where he went to school, because McMullen brought the whole crew back home, proud as he was of this place. And these reports don't explore the economic impact of the making of a movie in the city. We do know that at least 22 seamen stayed at the Lycoming Hotel for a week or so. They had to eat, and so did the crew. So there was a boost in the hospitality sector of the city for the duration. We're about to talk with a native of Williamsport who, like Lieutenant McMullen, spent time away working in the world of films, but who always wanted to bring something back home, not just to boost the economy to some degree, but to enhance the quality of life as well, and to share the special place that Williamsport is with people who don't know it. The inaugural River Valley Film Festival opens on July 18th and runs through the weekend in conjunction with Lycoming Arts. We had a chance to speak by phone with Corey Benet, festival founder, about his ties to the region, his work in film, and the festival itself.
I grew up in Williamsport, born and raised, graduated Williamsport High School in 09. I just love the history and the culture and everything that Williamsport has to offer. There's so much around as far as the nature and the community and everything here. I've just always been enamored by the logging history and, you know, the architecture and especially the Victorian homes downtown. They always have just been something that I have just been in awe of since I was a kid. So the ties to the river as well. I grew up in Newbury, so right across the street. You know, I used to hang out down by the Hiawatha. I used to joke that the Hiawatha was my best friend growing up. So in my family's here, you know, I've got deep family ties to the area as well. So going out to L.A. was great, but the plan when I went to L.A. was always to find something to bring back to the community, something to kind of give back. And that's what the River Valley Film Festival has come to be.
Did you work in the industry then when you were in Los Angeles?
When I moved out there in 2014, I began working in the festival scene. So I got a master's degree in entertainment business, graduated 2013 in the fall, came back home for the holidays, and then 2014 in the spring, I packed my little car full and drove across the country with no job lined up, anything. I was just going to LA to see what's going to happen. And I started working in Dances with Films. They are one of the largest, if not, I think maybe the largest festival in Los Angeles as far as an independent film festival is concerned. They just wrapped their season, but I started working with them as an assistant to the publicist. That was a lot of fun. I started to really fall in love with indie film and festivals with Dances with Films. I worked with them as filmmaker liaison up to helping out with scheduling and programming and eventually taking over everything music related for the festival. So I was booking artists for our lounge. I was in charge of venues and getting sponsorships and getting food vendors and all kinds of different things there. So very logistic heavy at Dances with Films, but I just really loved the independent film makers that I got to interact with. And the one thing I never let go of was that filmmaker liaison position. I always wanted to be the one that was kind of the voice of the festival, to really keep those filmmakers up to date with what's going on and answering all of their questions. And from there, I went to film publicity with Potent PR and a couple different smaller agencies out in LA. And then I started working with Phase 2 PR out there, and we do awards consulting for Academy Awards, Golden Globes, and different awards campaigns. We work directly with Netflix and their international contenders, including last year's Emilia Perez. It was nominated for 13 Academy Awards. So we have kind of gone through all of that, but my passion was always to come back and start something here. So in 2019, I actually founded the River Valley Film Festival. We were set to launch 2020. We launched in January. We were looking to have the festival in July, just like this year. And, of course, COVID happened, and that kind of put a big pause on everything. So we jumped then forward to 2025, where we relaunched in January, along with Jonathan Decker joined me during those years. And we joined up with Lycoming Arts in February, and officially became a part of the organization and an event that is officially put on by Lycoming Arts. We are also celebrating our 65th anniversary of Lycoming Arts this year. So it's a really cool addition to Lycoming Arts, as well as something new and exciting to bring to Williamsport.
Something that might work on the West Coast might not work in central Pennsylvania. How did you juggle your ideas about film festivals and sort out what you thought might be right here?
Yeah, well, so the biggest thing is the festivals are everywhere. I mean, the film festival community is very large. So it's exciting to have us be able to join that community. But also, each festival has their own kind of goal. And in LA, you know, it's a lot of industry festivals. Obviously, the industry is out there. You've got producers, you've got people who are working at studios, distributors. Everybody kind of can show up there very easily. When you come out to a festival like this, it's all about the filmmakers. It's about the community. It's about networking. It's really about showcasing these films that aren't showing in theaters. These films, in some cases, the festivals might be the only time you can see some of these films. And then they do make it into streaming and that kind of thing afterwards. But I really just wanted to bring something here that was going to make the community kind of see, like, hey, there is potential. Because that's the one thing I see so much around Williamsport. There's so much here, and there's so much we can do. We just have to come together as a community and do it. And so that's why I think joining with Lycoming Arts was so important for us, because it really shows the community, you know, we are here to help. We're here to really showcase Williamsport and also showcase independent film and bring those two things together and just make it a perfect merger of two communities that really just want to do better, you know, and create the next great thing, whether it be film or our city.
And you have admitted in the releases that you were surprised. Mm-hmm. You didn't expect to have a First Friday red carpet event to open this festival.
When I was first brainstorming back in 2019 with my original business partner, Claire Mattis, we were like thinking, you know, we'll have a big opening night party and we'll shut down the street and we'll have the red carpet and all this. And we're like, that'll be like year 5, year 10, you know. Not something we could do year 1, but joining with Lycoming Arts, their expertise, obviously they do the First Fridays, they shut down the streets every month. So they know what they're doing when it comes to the logistics of that side. So leaning on them to open up that and really just run wild with that idea, it just spawned out of nowhere. Everything just seems to fall in place. You know, it just seems like COVID was kind of there to put a pause and just say, hang on, this isn't the right year yet. Give it another couple of years and do this again. And like I said, everything's falling into place with Lycoming Arts. I always joke, the initial meeting, Jonathan and my business partner, Jonathan Decker, and I were going into the meeting and I'm like, all right, our goal is to get them to like shout us out on Facebook. Maybe they share our social media. Maybe they put our link on their website, you know, something like that. And by the end of the meeting, they were just kind of like, why don't you just join Lycoming Arts and we can just kind of do this together? And we were just like, oh, well, hey, actually, that's not a bad idea. So it was a really, really just fortuitous series of events that it just speaks to the dedication and motivation that if you continue pushing through, there's no real obstacle that's going to stop you, not even a global pandemic.
You certainly have encountered, as you've told us, so many independent filmmakers and the world in which they circulate. What did you think about inviting filmmakers to submit work for this festival? Did you select people you'd already known, or did you put out a general call? How did you do that?
Yeah, so we leaned heavily on connections that we already have, but also just the filmmaker community at large. A lot of the submissions that we've received are from people from all over the United States. We actually have received several submissions from outside of the United States. A few of them have actually made it into the festival, one from the Ukraine and one from Slovenia and another from Mexico. So we truly are an international fest in year one, and we're really just showcasing what I truly believe to be the best of what we have here in Pennsylvania as far as showcasing these independent films to our community. So when those filmmakers come in, they're going to be welcomed to our little world of Williamsport with a red carpet Friday. You know, this is what we do here. You know, these are the kind of cool things that we do in our little small town, these little festivals And these events like that is what really brings the community together. And we come out and we support each other. You know, we have vendors who are local, who are craftsmen and artists, and they're chefs, and they're creating all of these different items. And we're just really, it's all about supporting that local community and showcasing that independent film market here.
And where will these films be screened, Corey?
All of the films will be downtown in Williamsport at the AMC Classic 11. And Red Carpet Friday will be actually on 4th Street, shutting down between Hepburn and Elmira there, right in front of the theater as well.
You must be a partisan, even though we know all about streaming and all the opportunities you mentioned, working with Netflix and so on. But where do you come down when it's a matter of seeing a film in a theater with other people as a community?
Oh, I mean, as I've said, you know, it's all about community. So, you know, you can sit at home and watch a million movies and you get your own feelings and your own reactions and things like that. One of my best examples of how transformative the audience experience can be for a film. A lot of people saw the film Hereditary and they were like, oh, it's such a good horror movie. It's so this, you know, and they had these really good reviews on it. And I went to see it and the audience that I saw it with, I don't know what it was, but we laughed through the whole thing. We thought the whole thing was hilarious. So, you know, it's really the people that you're with that make an experience. And, you know, you can have those experiences all you want through social media and everything else, but there's something about being in a theater and feeling the other people around you and hearing their reactions and reacting together, and the community of watching a film together in an audience is just, it's just an experience that I don't think we're ready to let go of as an entire world. So I think it's just something more to bring to the community to come together and kind of have that community experience.
Well, we know that Williamsport, South Williamsport, is a little league town, but you have a prominent film about or centering on baseball and someone whom we may not know.
Yeah, so opening night film is always very important for a festival. You know, it's got to be something, especially in our first year, we want something that's going to showcase a great piece of art as a film, but we also want something that's going to kind of say, hey, this is what we're about. We are about history a little bit. We are about the culture of it all. We are about Pennsylvania. You know, that's really what we're here. We're here to showcase our local art scene, but also bring those filmmakers here and showcase Williamsport as kind of a backdrop, as we call it. So with this film, Rap Dixon, Beyond Baseball, that's what we decided was the best selection for our first film, very first film we're going to show. And it is all about Rap Dixon, who was actually a very record-breaking baseball player in what were known as the Negro Leagues and played for the team, the Harrisburg Giants. The documentary is very, very informative. I mean, there's so much in there that you just kind of are like, oh, wow. Which that's what you kind of look for in a doc, is something that is just kind of like, oh, I didn't realize that all of these players have records that they talk about the Negro Leagues as a whole and the records that these players have and how they're just not recognized in the record books because, you know, they didn't play for the MLB or whatever it may be. So this film is a championship of Rap Dixon as, you know, somebody who is a record-breaking pitcher as well as a player throughout the Negro Leagues. And he, again, the local ties with the Harrisburg Giants is just something that really spoke well to our city. And we're seeing a lot of great response already for the opening night film. So that's one thing. If people are looking to buy tickets, I would recommend getting them sooner than later. We are selling the tickets, so they will be selling out quick. I believe that you will be remiss if you miss out on this opportunity to get your tickets beforehand.
There are not just documentaries, but you have feature films and shorts. Tell us what else is on the menu in terms of types of films.
So in total, we have 20 films. As I mentioned, three of them are from outside of the U.S., We do have a film that was made very local here. The local crowd will definitely recognize a few of the filming locations that they used. That film is called Kill for Love, and that is in Shorts Block 2 on Saturday. So Saturday is going to feature most of what we call our narrative selection, which is your non-documentary films. So they're non-fiction, typically, for the audience that doesn't know the designation. So the narrative films we're going to see are Shorts Blocks in the morning. We have two Shorts Blocks, as well as the narrative features throughout the evening. And we do have a documentary opening that day as well. That is the one out of Mexico. It is actually an interesting take on classical music, and it is a three-part film in the way that it actually shows the performances of the orchestra that they are talking about in the documentary as well. So it's a really immersive documentary where you actually get to see the performance of the orchestra. And then on Sunday, it is our documentary day, and that is when we will be featuring three different documentary screenings. Two of those will feature two films, a short film and a slightly shorter feature-length documentary. And we close out with Mountain Souls, which is actually about a couple that lives in the Pine Creek area and actually lived in their house with no power or running water for over 50 years. So it's a really interesting take to kind of bookend the festival with another piece of documentary that is very close to home, but also I think will intrigue the local audiences to see just how other people live.
Will a good portion of the filmmakers be able to attend?
Yes. So with the 20 films, we're expecting roughly 15 filmmakers to show up for the festival so far. And so it's going to be a great time. We will have Q&As after the films. We're working out a way to do a virtual Q&A for the filmmakers who aren't able to attend. So that way we still have that full experience throughout the audience. You know, you have a Q&A after a screening at a festival. It's just what you do. So to not have that, we want to make sure that there's a way to ensure that we can do that, even if they're not here in person, to have that Q&A. And our entire jury will be here in person throughout the weekend. That is Tom Woodruff Jr., who is obviously Williamsport local and Academy Award winner. We have Ethan Alter. He's an entertainment writer and journalist and friend of mine. Megan McLaughlin from The Contending, again, another awards pundit, and she is coming up to give her expertise. We have Emily Flake, the Williamsport area know of her house that she started up here, the Writers Retreat here in Williamsport. She's going to be contributing. And then we also have John Shableski, who is manager down at Otto's Bookstore, contributing his experience with storytelling and that kind of thing to the jury. So it's going to be a star-studded weekend, even. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun.
What's the barometer? How do you measure what's a success? Is it gut because you see the ticket sales, or is it anecdotal?
Yeah, for me, success is arbitrary. I think for most people, it's an arbitrary thing. But for me, it really is more that gut feeling. You know, it's the reaction. It's how the community accepts us and takes us. And it is. It's just seeing people come out of the movies and seeing that they've had a good time. And really, it's just the community. Again, it comes down to the environment and how people kind of take it. I think so far, the excitement is there. Everyone I talk to is excited. There's not anybody that I think I've had a conversation with about the River Valley Film Festival yet that is not like, oh, this is exciting. This is something cool. This is something different for our community. And that's really what it's about. It's corny, but I love Williamsport. I love my hometown. I really want to be here. I want to live here. I want to make this a really cool place, and I want to bring some cool things here. And so that's just to start with the River Valley Film Festival.
Well, give us the particulars.
Yeah, so our website is lycomingarts.org/RVFF. That's River Valley Film Festival. And on there, you can see our entire listing of films. And the ticket prices are actually a donation to Lycoming Arts as an organization. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. So all ticket sales are donations and tax deductible. And then you also have the Festival Pass, which is a steal. That's all 12 screenings of the festival throughout Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That would get you into all of those for almost a quarter of the price. So we're definitely just encouraging the audience to come out and check us out and really just experience something new and exciting for the Williamsport area.
Corey Benet, founder of the River Valley Film Festival. The festival will be presented by Lycoming Arts, and it opens this weekend on July 18th. There will be the opening documentary, Rap Dixon Beyond Baseball, but the overall lineup of the three-day festival will include 6 narrative short films, 4 narrative features, 4 additional documentary features, 2 music videos, and a documentary short. Opening night will feature a Williamsport First Friday-style event, closing West 4th Street in downtown Williamsport from Hepburn to Elmira, as Corey told us. So there will be this gathering of vendors, food, music at 5 o'clock. That's the start. And there will be a red carpet for filmmakers and photo ops. Following the Red Carpet Friday event, the screening of Rap Dixon will take place beyond baseball. The River Valley Film Festival will begin the other screenings at 10:30 on Saturday morning, the 19th. 7 screenings throughout the day, closing out the fest on Documentary Sunday. Will be 3 screenings beginning at 11 a.m. And to wrap this event, it is a festival. Filmmakers will be judged and awards given for standard grand jury and audience awards, and also the Millionaire Award for highest audience rating overall, a nod to Williamsport's historic past. That's Rap Dixon Beyond Baseball, the opening night film Friday at 8 p.m., and then the Saturday, July 19th films are a wide range of narrative features, as we heard, and short breaks and more, and then it's Documentary Sunday. For more information on the web, lycomingarts.org/RVFF, lycomingarts.org/RVFF.